My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Man, 9 o'clock already. Brought to you by Gina Giampietro of RE/MAX Select Realty. Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. And joining us right now on the Fan Hotline from the Post-Gazette is our buddy Chris Carter. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Good morning to you, Chris. What's up?
What's up, boys? How we doing?
Not bad.
Buddy, we got real college football tonight. It ain't week zero. Yes. Caught a couple of good games. ACC team in action, North Carolina against Minnesota. We'll get to some Pitt with you. But first, forget the quarterback battle. We've talked about that enough. When you look at the Steelers' offensive line, who do you think they're going to go with to replace Isaac Seumalo in the early going? And who's their best option to replace Isaac Seumalo?
It doesn't matter what I think. You got two options, and they're going to choose one of those two, Spencer Anderson, the second-year player who was drafted last year in the seventh round, or Mason McCormick, the fourth-round rookie this year. Spencer Anderson, I think, might have a lead on that because of his versatility, and they've trusted him to be versatile this year. But I would not sleep on Mason McCormick. That guy was pretty strong, I thought, in the preseason. When he gets it going, he is a very physical force. I truly think the future of the Steelers' offensive line could very well be Broderick Jones, Troy Faltanu, Zach Frazier, and Spencer Anderson and Mason McCormick as a group of five. Like, you know, Anderson could be that guard that pairs with McCormick for the long run. So this might just be a first iteration of seeing some of that group when he gets the shot here. But certainly losing Isaac Seumalo is a big blow. That guy was your vet. He was your leader. He was going to be the guy that was the most physical. And I mean, I thought him working with Zach Frazier, there were some good signs of them doing that in the Lions game, that touchdown run with Cordarrelle Patterson against the Lions. You saw both of them double team the defensive tackle. Seumalo chips to the backer. Frazier does a great job sealing the tackle to the inside, and that created a huge rushing lane. And now you have to work with a much less experienced player next to Zach Frazier on that side. It's going to be a challenge to overcome for sure in the Steelers' first month of football.
Chris, we obviously here in Pittsburgh have known that Russell Wilson was going to be the starter, and there wasn't a true competition, but it was announced yesterday that he is going to be the starter by Mike Tomlin. What do you think is going to happen with Justin Fields? And then let's just focus on the first game against the Atlanta Falcons. How much do you see Justin Fields playing? Is he going to play at all? And what would that look like whenever he does get into the game, if he does get into the game in special packaging?
I really see Justin Fields as a guy who the Steelers do see as a potential future quarterback, but they got to develop him. They're not going to put him there and just say, that was your only chance. See you later. Goodbye. Like you said, it was as much of a race between Russell Wilson and Justin Fields as much as if Justin Fields started at the starting line and had to run a mile and Russell Wilson had to run, was started at the 3-quarter mark and had to run a quarter of a mile to get to the finish line. You know, Justin Fields made up some ground, but he was never going to catch him. And that's why people are saying it was never a real competition. You know, even though Mike Tomlin at times said we're having a competition here. But listen, there's going to be some times where I think Justin Fields gets on the field. I look at how they use him sometimes in the red zone, in certain packages, in some 7-shot drills, in practices, in the joint practice against the Bills. I don't think it'll be a common thing. I don't think it'll be a regular thing, but I think it'll be one of the wrinkles that they try to work into this offense, because they know you put him, like inside the 10 and you call a QB option, he could freeze the defense. If he freezes the linebackers and makes the right call, he could walk into the end zone or hand it to a guy who walks into the end zone, or get a guy breaking open behind those linebackers who are frozen because they're so busy worrying about them walking to the end zone. I think that becomes a part of the Steelers offense, not a staple, but I do think it's something they try this year, because the Steelers do want to see Justin Fields later this season at some point. Give him a chance to prove, hey, he can be the guy if they keep him on next year.
You think Russ gives them a better chance to win early? Like, you think this was the right call?
I do think this is the right call. But I look at Russell Wilson, and like I said, when I brought up the mile to quarter mile analogy, that's because Russell Wilson has all the fundamentals you want. He knows how to process defenses a bit faster. He has all the experience. He's going to be in here, and even with Amalo being gone, he's going to know how to work with this offense, work with a young offensive line, and say, "All right, let's get this done. Let's not turn the ball over. Let's stay on time. This is the plan here." Justin Fields is going to be getting his legs under him in those games, and it's going to take. I mean, he could have meant, you know, someday get there. Like, he could get to there after some time, but right now, when you're going up your first game against the Falcons, and they got Grady Jarrett on that defensive line, they got Jesse Bates in that secondary, you don't have time to worry about that. You need a quarterback who's going to go out there and know how to handle it, even when he knows certain parts of his offense aren't as good as their parts of the defense and the best way to work around them. That's where Russell Wilson's going to give the Steelers an advantage.
Chris, I asked this question to Bill Hillgrove a little bit earlier. You got West Virginia, Penn State on Saturday. Pitt opens up, obviously, on Saturday against Kent State. 2 weeks from Saturday, you'll have the backyard brawl. Who has the most pressure at head coach, Pat Narduzzi, James Franklin, or Neil Brown, in your opinion?
I believe Neil Brown bought himself some real estate last year with a really good season, 9 wins. You can't shake your head at that. If he had a bad season this year, I think he'd be back where he was last year when some fans were like, but I think he's bought himself some leverage. I think James Franklin, his whole thing is, can Penn State ever get over the top? But I do think that it is Pat Narduzzi who is under pressure, because if this Pitt team does not deliver and they have another 3-win season, 4-win season, this could be trouble. And this would be like, it would be like back-to-back bad years. And then I think there would be some serious questions about the future of Pat Narduzzi. Now, granted, Pitt is an athletic department that wouldn't buy out Jeff Capel because of his buyout clause in his contract. And I don't believe that Pat Narduzzi's buyout clause is any less than what Jeff Capel's was. But football is a different beast in college sports. And this is a different day with NIL and the money that gets brought into the sport. So I look at Pat Narduzzi and I think that, man, get at least 6 wins this year. Be bowl eligible.
That's what I was
going to
ask. Yeah, because
yes,
you said that Pat Narduzzi needs to deliver. Do you think that's the line right there, 6 wins?
6 wins.
Okay.
That's the line. Get back to bowl. Because here's the thing. You get back to bowl eligibility, right? Now you can say, look, that 3-9 was a blip on the radar, because I believe that was only the second time in Pat Narduzzi's 9 years last year that he finished with a losing record. So if you show that, hey, that was just a blip on the radar, a bump in the road, and most likely this year, if whoever wins the quarterback position, because as Pat Narduzzi has told us, it's still up in the air between Eli Holstein and Nate Yarnell, whoever wins that competition is probably going to be the starting quarterback next year. And then you won't have as many guesses, and Cade Bell's system is going to be in place. And there's a lot of young pieces on this team that are emerging. Look out for guys like Francis Brew, who I think is going to be a really good starting defensive tackle for the team. Look out for Cruz Brookins, who I think is going to be a really fantastic safety for this program. A lot of guys who are redshirt freshmen will be playing on this team, and also true sophomores. And I think if they get through this season bowl eligible, they're going to have a core of guys that knows what it takes to get there, and they're going to be that much stronger because of it.
It's going to get interesting. I mean, with Cade Bell and his play calling and how fast he wants to run plays, but you know, being on defense and Pat Narduzzi having that defense so secure, if you look at their schedule, is there a team on the schedule that Pitt needs to worry about? Like, is there a game that you're like, all right, Pitt needs to win that game? And it may not be the Clemsons of the world. I'm not asking, like, you know, the big time teams that are, you know, in the conference that are on their schedule. But is there like one game that you look at the Pitt schedule, like they have to win that game in order to have a successful season?
Like a swing game kind of deal.
Yes, a swing game.
You know, I look at the two games that they're going to play against the teams that just joined the ACC. And that's going to be really telling, because you're going to play both of those teams in the span of 3 weeks. You're going to have your first four games, non-conference games, Kent State, Cincinnati, West Virginia, Youngstown State. As long as they come out of that 3-1, I think they're in the right direction. If they come out at 2-2, they're going to have to do some serious work in the ACC. I don't look at North Carolina as an end-all, be-all, but I feel like you have to beat Cal and SMU this year. Otherwise, you're going to need to go into Clemson, do some work, go into Louisville, do some work. I look at those two games. Cal's at home in October. SMU's in Dallas in November. You beat those two teams, and then I think you buy yourself some leverage. But I think the key is getting three wins in non-conference. Two of those teams are Kent State and Youngstown State. So really that just means win those two games and split with Cincinnati and West Virginia. You put yourself in a good position. And then at that point, you just need to win three ACC games. Mm-hmm. If you do that, you win three ACC games, you're bowl eligible, right? And I do think that they could bang with Cal and SMU and Syracuse and North Carolina and Virginia. And I think Clemson and Louisville, if they split one of those two games, this team, I think, will exceed expectations. But it's all about starting strong, getting out the gates. Last year, they did not come strong out the gates, and that impacted them the whole season. I think this is a young team. They have to start with good momentum and get up on their schedule. If they're asking questions about themselves after the West Virginia game like they were last year, this could be another long season for Pitt.
Really good stuff, Chris. We appreciate the time. Thanks for being flexible and moving for us this week, buddy.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, fellas.
Take care. Chris Carter, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I think we're all like-minded on that for Pitt.
Yeah. That game for me is Cincinnati. Like, that is the most telling game of the season, I believe. And last year, I had a good feeling with Cincinnati coming here, and I thought the same thing, right? They played Cincinnati, I think, the second game of the year, and then they went down to West Virginia, I believe.
Yep.
And I was like, they got to win this game, and that game looked ugly. It looked really bad, and I was like, uh-oh. Like, you're down going into a rivalry game. You have to win that game, and it's such an uphill climb. And then we saw how ugly that game was, and then I knew that they were in for it for the rest of the season. I feel the same way this year. Like, there's a lot of new things. There's a lot of new pieces, but you have to, as Chris said and as we said earlier, I think we were talking to Greg Finley before the show, they have to go 3-1 in September. They have to. Like, you know, 4-0, awesome. But you cannot afford to go 2-2, and you can't obviously afford to have a losing record in the month of September and try to salvage a season. You have to start off fast.
We are going to get into all this in depth tomorrow. Pat Boss is going to be on with us for a couple of hours. We'll get into all the local teams and get into the college football playoff too, which it's a totally different world now in college football. And forget all the NIL, forget all next year paying the players and all that stuff. Just the tournament changes everything. I mean, look, Florida State loses game one. I mean,
To an ACC team.
I mean, they come back, win the ACC. Who knows?
Right.
But that's a game that in the BCS era, your season is over.
Yep.
Your season is done. In the 14 playoff era, your season is probably done. And now it's not. I mean, Pitt was in the ACC championship a couple of years ago at 7-5. You beat Clemson. Guess what, boys? You are in the college football playoff. And I'm going to love the playoff when it comes around. And all these games are still going to feel big. They're not going to be as big, though. They really aren't. If you're vying for a playoff spot,
mm-hmm.
if you're a team that fancies yourself a playoff contender, you now have more margin for error than ever before in the history of college football. And I know I love the playoff. I'm not sure I love that aspect of it. But we'll see how it all plays out over the next 12 weeks or so. Text us, brought to you by Egger, Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm. They always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. You can tweet us, @_AdamCrowley, @ScoreAndDoran, brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Up next, a take I have about Russell Wilson I haven't thrown out there, and I wonder if you...
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Agree.
I met with both quarterbacks here just a few minutes ago after practice, and I informed them that Russ is QB1 going into week one. It was a difficult decision, but not difficult in a negative way, to be quite honest with you. It was difficult in a positive way. The decision was difficult because of what they're capable of doing. Decision was difficult because of how they have conducted themselves, as opposed to the things that they fall short in terms of capabilities or negative conduct. Both guys have been really professional. I've been really excited about getting to know them and their games and having the ability to analyze what both are capable of bringing. Obviously, Russ's injury created some challenges in terms of that process, in terms of exposure to him. But in the same token, it created more opportunities and avenues to get to know Justin and for Justin to show what he's capable of.
Tomlin too long-winded for Callis's sick beats there. 1 minute from Mike Tomlin there talking about the decision to go with Russell Wilson as the starting quarterback. And I don't know if I've expressed this on the show at any point yet, Doran, but I would like to express it now. I am very much rooting for Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
I think he's a good guy.
Me too.
I think he wants people to think he's a good guy, but I buy it to an extent. I think he's a nice man, and I think he is disliked by the national media because of what happened maybe at the end of that Super Bowl. Like, that defense thought that Russ wanted to be the hero, and they thought that the play call was because Russ wanted to be the hero, and then because of this Sean Payton stuff.
Yes.
And I think the media likes to be right, and I think they hunkered in on Russell Wilson is the problem there, and they continue to want to be right, so they just dismiss him as a guy that stinks, even though I did a little homework assignment this week. I went back and I watched a lot of Russell Wilson YouTube stuff, Doran, from last year. He makes some plays where you go, oh my God, runs into some sacks where you go, oh my God. He's not a bum.
Mm-mm.
We're in a league that's blessed with a ton of great quarterbacks. It might be the quarterback golden age in the NFL, Doran. And maybe he's not in the upper cut, the upper echelon, the elite of the elite anymore. He's a good quarterback. And he's getting raked over the coals like he's some jabroni. What? For the old coach in Denver?
Well, I mean, as we know, everybody in the media talks. We talk a lot. And Sean Payton, he was in the media for about a year before he took the job in Denver. And he still has connections.
Great point.
He still has connections. And he probably has told his connections about Russ, what he feels about it personally. And then that does sway. You know, it all depends on who's saying it, right? And if you're in the media and Sean Payton, who will be probably a Hall of Fame coach, you know, I mean, or at that level at some point, I'm not a fan of him. If he says something, you're probably going to believe it. And he's probably reaching out to different people during the time in Denver with Russ and saying that this guy is ridiculous. This guy's this guy's that. I mean, he's the one who put it out about Russ having the entourage, Russ having his own office and saying like that was going to go away. Like, I mean, I think the perception of Russ has been tainted a little bit. I think he's misunderstood. I think that that's the definition. If you look in the dictionary and Russell Wilson's name is there, and then misunderstood is my opinion of Russ and what I view of him. And I think it's been tainted a little bit by Sean Payton and maybe some of his media connects and kind of, you know, painting a bad picture of him because he just didn't like him.
I think Sean Payton seems like a real ass.
Yeah.
I do. And I don't think he's this great quarterback whisperer either. And I've said that before. Oh, great. Drew Brees in a dome. He threw for a bunch of yards, and he's going to the Hall of Fame. Right. I mean, they went 7-9. How many times with Drew Brees? I mean, if you can't get good quarterback play out of one of, if not the most accurate quarterbacks in NFL history, then okay. I mean, so he gets credit for that. What else has he done? What, Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston?
Right.
I mean, Sean Payton, the quarterback whisperer, I think is so darn overblown that he's this genius, this offensive wizard. I'm not saying he's not good at that kind of stuff, but he wound up getting a lottery ticket that hit in Drew Brees that wasn't going to work out in San Diego because they drafted Phillip Rivers. The best year he had in San Diego was the year they had Phillip Rivers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he lucked into that guy. And he's one of the most accurate passers of all time. And so we're supposed to think that he's God's gift to quarterbacking? No, I don't buy it for a second. He wanted to do things his way last year. Russ is not a quarterback that's always going to play within a structure. And I think it drove Sean Payton crazy.
No, you had two alphas clashing. I mean, you had two Super Bowl winning people. I mean, Russ is like, I want a Super Bowl. Like, Sean Payton's like, I won a Super Bowl, and I'm going to do things my way? No, I'm going to do things my way, and it clashed. And that doesn't mean Russ is a bad player. It just didn't work. And then, obviously, the year before that, he had Nate Hackett, and everybody knows how I feel about that. And Nate Hackett should have never been a head coach in the NFL. Maybe
as bad a one-year tenure as you can ever have, yeah.
In any sport.
Him and Urban Meyer, you put them up on the podium, and you can make your votes from there.
I would love to know what Pete Carroll truly feels about Russell Wilson. Like, I know that they had to part ways, and I know that, you know, Pete Carroll and that whole situation, like, that's business. And things do get stale after a while. I mean, look at Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Like, guys move on. Peyton Manning and, you know, his coach at the time. But I would love to know what Pete Carroll really feels about Russell Wilson, because I trust him more than I trust what Sean Payton has to say. I know that.
Well, and even with that, you know, Pete Carroll's a defensive guy.
Yeah.
You know, Pete Carroll, I mean, you think about, I think Pete Carroll, let me say it this way, is as similar a coach to Mike Tomlin.
Yes.
As there is.
Yes.
Defensive guy, players seemingly love Pete Carroll. Guys walk out of here, they love Mike Tomlin.
In Harbaugh, throw him in. Like, those three mm-hmm. are the same guys.
Yeah.
Same guys.
They might go about it a little bit differently, but beloved by their players, all want to win with defense. And I could see how, if there was a divorce there with Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll, Pete aligning himself more with running the ball and playing defense,
because mm-hmm.
that's just the way he's always seemingly done it. So, but just because those two divorced doesn't mean that there would be any reason for animosity.
I mean, they won together.
Right.
So it's like, you know, at any relationship, any parting of ways, there's usually friction. But it doesn't mean that one side is, you know, I mean, worse than the other.
That's what I was trying to say, yeah.
Right. I mean, look at the, you know, Brady and Belichick have made up. I mean, obviously, you have two strong minds. And sometimes three if you throw in the owner. And sometimes four if you throw in the GM. Like, there's a lot of strong minds that want to do things their way, that see things their way, and you all have to get on the same page. And I do believe that Mike Tomlin, though he is a very strong mind, and so is Colbert, and so is Rooney, I do believe that Mike Tomlin feels that he needs that strong mind on the field with the cleats on and the helmet on and the shoulder pads on at that position. He definitely feels that way. Even though they won't see eye to eye, and nobody sees eye to eye all the time, he feels that his best opportunity to be at his best self as a head coach is to have a veteran quarterback that is like-minded of him and everybody else that he has to work with.
Well, and even if not, Ben was a cat, man, special cat.
Yes.
Like, Ben was going to come on here, 93.7 The Fan, before Mike Tomlin's press conference to set his own agenda.
But he knew that Ben was going to show up on Sundays.
Exactly. Exactly.
He didn't have to worry about it.
If you can handle Ben, then you can handle Russ. And it's one of the reasons why I think Russ is primed to have a pretty good season for the Steelers. Him and Sean Payton didn't get along. That sucks. You need to have a good working environment. If you don't, it's really hard to work.
Yes.
And I don't care. Professional athletes make millions of dollars. I can already feel the texts coming in. But that's a reality. He couldn't cut it with Nate Hackett, and people want to put it on him. Like, that's what's not. Oh, this guy stunk in Denver. First guy was a terrible coach. Next guy, he's looked at as this quarterback genius. Okay, but he also is a quote-unquote quarterback genius who needs it to go exactly his way. I think Tomlin's okay with a personality at quarterback.
Uh-huh.
And it brings up what I want to get into next. Can they win the way they want to win with Russ? Is this roster designed in a way where they can win in a way that is comfortable with Mike Tomlin? We'll get into that when we come back. We want you to come back as well. Schedule a heart screening today. Trust the nationally ranked experts at UPMC for your heart care. Now, free hoagies out there.
Yes.
And I don't care if it's 9:37 in the morning, I'm going to eat a hoagie. Callis didn't know. Callis, did you just see his face?
His food?
He perked
There's
up.
There's one left. There's a half cut left.
Can I go get it?
No.
Sure. Who do you respect more?
Uh-oh. Somebody's coming up and get it. Callis, you better go
there.
Callis,
you better run, man.
Gordon, you said no.
Get up and go.
Hurry up. Somebody's getting it.
Corned beef. Run.
He ran
out there. He had to tear an ACL or something. We have breaking news. Antonio Brown on Twitter. Steelers wide receiver move coming soon. #CTESPN. I'd like to say just ignore him, but he's been on some stuff, hasn't he?
I mean, that could mean somebody gets cut.
Could be. Or it could be Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah, I'm not going to get into our communication again, but, you know, there's, you know, at some point you got to play.
John Lynch seems fed up with Brandon Ayuk. Got to play. Kyle Shanahan. Talking about Trent Williams.
Yeah, I'm optimistic that things will work out with Trent. I'm not sitting here knowing what day it'll be. I mean, we're getting close to playing a game, so, like, my mind is completely on preparing for a game without those guys. But, yeah, I feel when two sides want to get a deal done, it usually it happens.
See, that's like when my mom is talking to a friend about me and my sister, is I clearly can tell that she prefers me just based on her tone. She just loves me the best, firstborn.
I prefer your sister, but...
Ah, jeez, set myself right up for that one. And then Definitely. Here come the texts. Crowley, isn't your sister your wife? Because West Virginia, ha, ha, ha. We'll just get out ahead of all of it, and 13-9, and it all goes downhill. Self-defense. It definitely sounds like they're in a totally different place with Trent Williams than they are with Brandon Ayuk. Well, Trent, you know... We're optimistic something is going to get it done. Brandon Ayuk, well, he's got to come out here and play. I didn't hear them say that about Trent. Now, I guess Trent's holding out and Ayuk was holding in. I don't see much of a difference there. So when Antonio Brown, #CTESPN, says, Steelers going to make a wide receiver move soon, and we know what's been going on in San Francisco. I do perk up just a little bit. But we were going to talk about something else here, and now we will. Mike Tomlin, last few years, and even really the last season with Ben, they want to win by running the ball, playing defense, winning close games. Last year, they were 9-2 in one-score games. Last few years, they have not won a game, 0-16-1, when they lose the turnover battle. I think Russ fits that perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Can they do it with the offensive line in the state that it is and with the wide receiver position in the state that it is? I mean, I think you almost have to do that. And I think you can win that way in the NFL if your personnel is good enough. If you can't run the ball, control the clock, and score points, I think you can win that way. And not turning the football over. I think they're going to have to play that way. I don't know if the pieces around Russ are good enough to win that way.
Well, I mean, as you know, I said earlier, I mean, you're going to usually roll out an extra tackle with Darnell Washington, but you're going to have a two tight end set. So you can your base will be a two tight end set with two wide receivers, and you'll have Pat Freiermuth basically as a split tight end, which is essentially another wide receiver. But Darnell Washington will always stay in helping either side of the offensive line. So yes, you can with this group right now. Having Darnell Washington, I think, helps immensely to what you want to do. But it may look great at first, but I think you can get some stuff done by utilizing Darnell Washington as a great blocker, and he is a great blocker for that offensive line that has had some, you know, hiccups thus far.
Play action going to play a big role, which is something they haven't done. Ben's final year, didn't do each of the last few years, just totally don't give a rip about play action. Now it's going to be a principal focus of the offense. I think the other huge key, man, if you're going to be this team, we're going to be tougher than you, we're going to run the ball, I'm Arthur Smith, and we've got pedigree on the offensive line, you have to hit the big play. Have to hit the big play. Hey, I don't think you can 3 yards cloud of dust your way into the end zone. Even though Russ is good in the red zone, you're going to have to hit some explosive plays. And there's only one guy on that offense that I fear that you can hit for an explosive play, and that's George Pickens. I think the defense is plenty good enough to be tall to the task, and I do think the offense, even with the Seumalo injury, should still be better than next year, but I don't say that with any level of confidence right now, based on the Seumalo injury and the lack of Brandon Ayuk. You add an Ayuk and you get healthy, I think that changes a ton of stuff.
Changes everything.
But right now, those are hypotheticals and hope. And hope is not a strategy, I've heard.
Yes. Yes.
What if Antonio Brown's coming back?
I don't think they want that.
I'd take him.
Him, Juju, and Pickens.
Martavis.
Martavis. Those four.
Bring back Sammy Coates, too, man. You think AB could still play?
Yes.
Me, too. But no.
I mean, if Martavis can still play, AB can.
Can he play?
Martavis?
Yeah.
Sure. He caught a touchdown.
Yeah, cut from Washington, though. They're good.
Well, you know, I mean, listen, he caught a touchdown.
Callis, how's your sub doing?
Oh, it's gone.
Jeez.
That's kind of misleading. It was only a half of one.
What are we talking, ham? We talking Italian? We talking corned beef?
I don't know.
You don't
taste like meat.
You don't know what it was?
No. I'm not very picky with my meats.
Crowley is.
I like the corned beef.
Is Crowley's sister picky with your meats?
Jeez Louise, is that too? That is way too far. We try to be coy and clever with
this
it.
This guy smokes meats on Twitter all the time, and you're going dirty, mine? Come right on now.
Dark meats.
Man, that was heavy-handed, man. That was a little too far here.
Wow. Was it?
Well, and Callis says his sister doesn't eat meat. She's a pescatarian or something.
Okay.
Is that true?
Yes.
Okay.
What's that have to do with it?
Oh, no, I'm going to hit you over the head with a fact, and I hope you take it as an insult. That's what I'm going for. Texter, the banter and friendly insults amongst the morning team make my mornings. Thank you, Ken and Hopewell. Well, thank you, Ken, and none of it is friendly. This is all legitimate, and when the show is over, we all go our separate ways because secretly we hate each other.
Yes. You know where I go after the show.
To my sisters, 13-9. My sister's my wife. Let me just protect
you myself. Realize that you're the only one saying this.
I know. Right? I just have to get ahead of it.
Okay.
Coming up next, social media's biggest loser. Brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at Awaken180weightloss.com. 50-minute mark on The Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. One of the most hated men for the Pitt fan base last year is now a great friend of the Pitt basketball program, Doran. Did you happen to catch this news?
I don't know.
Jeff Capel and the rest of the ACC men's hoop coaches met with Joe Lunardi to talk about the league scheduling strategy. How about that? I think it's smart. It's a stupid system. It's a game. You got to game the system. So why not go to the guy that understands the system better than just about anybody else and see what nuggets you can get? I actually think that's a really shrewd idea by, like, was it the ACC's commissioner? Whomever it was, that's a really, really good idea. But that guy was talking junk on the Pitt fan base after the...
He was tweeting.
Yeah, man. Like, I thought that was low rent, amateur, ridiculous stuff from him. Calling out the Pitt fan base because they were upset that their team didn't make the tournament whenever Virginia got in. But hey, if your enemy is willing to help, your enemy is no longer your enemy. Your enemy is your friend.
Yes. Yes.
Speaking of friends, Pat Bostic is going to join us tomorrow from 7 o'clock until 9, and the return of Lee Sterling.
I can't wait for that. I look forward to that every week. Get my bets all set for the weekend. Lee, you know, wait, who does Miami play? He's a Hurricanes fan.
The U?
They play somebody pretty good.
I think they do.
I forget.
Miami football schedule. This is a Paul pause.
I forget.
Florida. Oh!
Oh, they're starting off with the, wow.
In the swamp. No shock here. Miami has a little number next to their name.
Of course.
Rank coming in. Preseason hype for the University of Miami, Doran.
Where's one game outside of West Virginia that you would want to go see? Like, you want to go? You already know?
No. I'm focused on West Virginia, Penn State, and Pitt against Kent
State. Have you ever been to a Penn State game?
At Happy Valley, I have not. Are you asking what's a place that I would love to go see a game?
Yeah.
I went to LSU, and it was awesome. I would probably honestly say Penn State. I'd love to go to the Rose Bowl. That'd be really cool. What's the best venue you ever played in?
Ooh, best venue.
And where would you like to go?
I'd like to go to Ohio State game.
I've been to one of those.
They good?
It was really cool. Ohio State beat the living crap out of Michigan when Michigan had Rich Rod as coach. So I was invested heavily in Ohio State winning that game. And even though they killed him and they were a massive favorite, and this was when they were struggling, of course, with Rich Rod, Michigan was, everybody rushed the field, all the students, and they don't care. They let you there. And we ran around. We tackled each other. Night before, I jumped in Mirror Lake, went to the game.
Wow, you did the whole, wow. Look
did
at
the
you.
Whole thing.
Pretty cool.
And then we went and saw a movie that night, which was dumb.
What?
And we never dried off from the lake, so we just shivered through the entire movie.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
So where would you like to go, Ohio State?
Mm-hmm.
You got to go down Bayou, LSU.
I heard
friendly
that is,
folks.
I heard that is an experience.
Cajun food. They were very friendly. Worst thing they do to you is when they see opposing fans, they go, Tiger bait, Tiger bait, Tiger bait, Tiger bait. It's like, oh boy, geez, that's real mean. Sure got me there. You do got a couple of games tonight, though, man. You got North Carolina, Minnesota, and you got North Dakota State against Colorado. And I guarantee you, man, that Colorado game is going to do numbers. People watch the hell out of that team.
Heck yeah.
And I'm going to hate watch them. But they've got good players. I don't want to... See, I have a hard time. I don't want to kill the players because, like, Shedeur Sanders is really fun to watch. They got the guy who goes both ways. So might be
Travis Hunter.
Yeah, Travis Hunter. He might be the best... he might be the
football
best
player.
Football player in the country. So I don't want to poo-poo on them because I think their head coach is a dink. But would it not be the best thing if this perennial FCS powerhouse, North Dakota State, they're only favored by 10.5.
It's like, yeah, it's lower than I thought it was.
I'm telling you, they fixed that offensive line.
Even if they come close.
Both games at 8 o'clock, I believe.
Yes.
One on Fox, one on ESPN. So looking forward to that. Tomorrow, big college football preview. Bunch of Steeler stuff I'm sure we'll get into.
Bunch of college games tomorrow, too.
Are there?
Oh, yeah.
We got Friday games, Doran.
Miami actually might play tomorrow. I know it's some pretty good games. We're in it. We're
ready to go. Playing 3:30 on Saturday.
Oh,
but we all yeah, you were. Idiot. Notre Dame, Texas A&M, an interesting game this first weekend too. All right, enough schedule gazing. This is what guys do though.
I love it.
We would sit here and we do in the mornings and we just look at the college football schedule and you don't always know all the guys on every team. But it's like, oh, hey man, USC, LSU, what does that do for you? Oh, you know, Boston College, Florida State, a little Power Four football. Get used to saying that too, Power Four football. All right, we've petered out. Coming up next is Paul Zeiss and Joe Starkey. Back at it tomorrow at 5:40. Goodbye. But first, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. This Chevy summer drive continues at Sun Chevrolet up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. Today, high at 90, low 70. Oh, Fresno State, Michigan. Get behind that.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.